Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Monday class, November 17, 2025, Zechariah.
All right, now normally I would say, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we will have class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. But I got a message from the Lord, and he said, the Lord is willing that we have the class, but the creek is going to rise. So there you go. No problem there. You passed the rising creek test, those of you who are here. Also, many of you, if not all of you, you know Jim Wheeler. And Jim has had a German shepherd named Magnum. That Magnum was a Christian, of course. And he loved to come to Upland Bible Church. And not only did he love to come to Upland Bible Church, he loved to sing. And I loved to have him sing because he had greater projection than all of you together. Well, Jim had to put Magnum down. And I don't know about you. I love dogs. But when it comes to that point, I feel terrible. And I have had some great, great dogs that I have loved. And when I take them in there, they look at me as trusting me that I am protecting them and doing the best for them. And what I really feel like is I'm killing them. Go ahead and give him the shot and he's dead. That's always was tough for me. I love dogs. But that is one part I don't love. Magnum is in heaven. And there's a card out in the hallway. And if you would like to, as many of you like to, sign that card. It'll be to Jim and for about Magnum's promotion. Anyway, that's in the hallway there. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The November, December, Israel, My Glory has a very interesting article. It's entitled, When Missiles Fall, Faith Rises. Shortly after our Friends of Israel Origins mission team, this is a Origins is a mission team of young adults, landed in Israel in June, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu launched a preemptive strike against Iranian military targets. Within 24 hours, Iran responded by firing hundreds of ballistic missiles toward Israel, igniting a monumental conflict. You might think this chaos would ruin a ministry trip, but our team of 10 young adults courageously turned the trial into an opportunity to live out their faith. The Origins program gives Christian young adults hands-on experience ministering to Jewish people in Israel. On these trips, participants build relationships, serve in practical ways, and communicate the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But no one could have anticipated the environment our team stepped into this time. Despite air raid sirens, missile warnings, and regional instability, our team members pressed forward in faith. Their commitment to ministry did not waver. In fact, it deepened. As tensions grew, so did their desire to serve and to pray and to tangibly express Jesus' love in the land where he walked. Micah Husk, one of our Origins participants, shared that in the middle of the chaos, as rockets rained down, he experienced a deep peace that only God could give. I kept on holding to Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Micah and the rest of the team, the Word of God became a refuge and a reminder that God was with them even in this storm. One of the group's most significant ministry opportunities came through Kaplan Medical Center in Rehovot, which welcomed our team's service. It was the perfect place for them to be. For them to be safe. It was structured and filled with opportunities to encourage the patients, support the medical staff, and reflect Christ's compassion. The impact was immediate. Hospital administrators, including the CEO and his assistant, expressed astonishment that Christians from the United States would choose to serve Israelis during such a perilous time. We definitely feel the love of the friends of Israel, one of them said through his tears. Eventually, the Origins members safely evacuated Israel through Amman, Jordan. But before they returned to the United States, they visited Mount Nebo and Petra, locations that played significant roles in the Israelite journey to the Promised Land, adding a layer of biblical reflection and historical wonder to their unforgettable journey. God doesn't wait for things to be calm to carry out his plans. Sometimes he places his people in the darkness so that his light can shine even brighter. The Origins team exhibited a testimony of faith under pressure and in its presence in Israel. During this extraordinary time, they planted seeds that will only be revealed fully in eternity. All right, Zechariah chapter 4. Let's start at corrected translation at verse 6. So he, the teaching angel, answered and said to me, Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Absolutely not by means of might, nor by means of power, but by means of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth. And then verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of grace, grace to it. In Zechariah 4:7, there is a mountain of opposition. Before Zerubbabel, the mountain of opposition before Zerubbabel is a person. He's the ruler of planet Earth, Satan himself. Zerubbabel's number one task as the political leader of the remnant that is returned to Jerusalem in Zechariah's day is to rebuild the temple. Cyrus the Great decreed that the Jews could return to their land, but on one condition. He wanted them, they could return to the land, but he wanted them to rebuild the temple where the living God would live. That was Cyrus the Great, spiritually mature believer. A lot of winter believers in Persia at this time. And this was also a decree from Darius Hystaspes. Same thing. He told the Jews, you're free to return to your land, to Judah, to Jerusalem. But number one, rebuild the temple. So Zerubbabel is facing a great mountain of opposition, spearheaded by Satan himself. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And the word who was used to personify the phrase, O great mountain, which was a metaphor for the obstacles and the opposition that confronted Zerubbabel. He started to rebuild the temple after the Jewish remnant had returned to Jerusalem. He started it. That's Ezra 3, verse 8. But they immediately faced what seemed to be insurmountable problems. There were Gentiles living in the land who tried to stop the temple reconstruction. That's Ezra chapter 4. These Gentiles had corrupted the Jewish faith with worshiping false gods, idolatry, not the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And first they wanted to help with the task of rebuilding the temple, but they were rejected because they wanted to use it to worship their false gods in idolatry. Making an ungodly alliance with these people would have diverted Israel and blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory. Then those Gentiles tried to discourage and intimidate the workers by hiring attorneys to frustrate construction of the temple. And finally, those opposing the project wrote letters of complaint to King Artaxerxes, petitioning him to shut down the project. This mountain of opposition was also made up of the mental attitude of the Jewish people themselves. The details of life were more important to them than spiritual priorities. They were specifically instructed by Cyrus and Darius, you're free to go back, but number one, rebuild the temple. Instead, they went back and built beautiful homes. They went back and built beautiful homes. They were interested in the details of life. They weren't interested in rebuilding the temple. That just stopped. And of course, when that stopped, God brought all kinds of discipline on them while they were there. They were in drought. They were in economic disaster for 16 years because all they were thinking about was the details of life. They were far more important than God was. And that was a total failure on their part. So the details of life were more important to them than spiritual priorities. This mountain of opposition had to be leveled. And it is leveled by, first of all, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with the teaching ministry of two of God's servants, Zechariah and Haggai. And Haggai addressed the problems of wrong mental attitude of the Jewish people, putting the details of life as being more important than spiritual priorities. And he did this in Haggai 1, verses 1 to 15, and Haggai 2, verses 3 through 5. The grace and power of God will level that mountain. God, the Holy Spirit, Zechariah 4, 6. So verse 7 again, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of grace, grace. The temple was completed when Zerubbabel finished it off with the last stone, the capstone. Now this was not the foundation stone laid 16 years earlier. This was the top stone, the last stone, put in place to complete the temple. When Zerubbabel set the capstone in place, there was a celebration, shouting, grace, grace. Yes, absolutely. the grace of God. Grace to it could be heard echoing throughout Jerusalem. The people were celebrating, praising God for His grace and power in restoring the temple for Israel. The completion of the temple is a demonstration of the grace and power of God, specifically God the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the wall of fire, the wall of fire that protected them. There was no walls, no fortifications around Jerusalem, so the Lord Jesus Christ was the wall of fire that protected them so they could rebuild the temple, and then the Shekinah glory of Jesus Christ would dwell in the Holy of Holies. Through maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, Bible doctrine taught by Zechariah and Haggai, they put spiritual priorities over the details of life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, is dwelling once again in the Holy of Holies of the completed temple. So verse 7 once again says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground." And then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of grace, grace to it. Well, we did the exegesis last time. Let's pull this together. One, every church age believer, that'd be you and me, every church age believer is going to have mountains of opposition in his life. All of you qualify if you're a church age believer, and you are. Every church age believer is going to have mountains of opposition in his life. Why? Two, this is because Satan has shifted his attack to the body of Christ, the church universal. For now, the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So Satan has shifted his attack to the body of Christ in the church age, the church universal, because the Lord Jesus Christ is now seated. He has been resurrected, ascended, and seated. He is seated at the right hand, not seated, seated at the right hand of God the Father. I know you get a kick out of my... I'm getting a lot more of these seated. In the Old Testament, Satan's attack was on the line of Christ, and then it was on Jesus Christ himself. But following the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, now Satan's attack in the church age is on the body of Christ. Every single one of us. And therefore, point three, for the first time in human history, Satan's attack is now on every single believer. For the first time in human history, Satan's attack is now on every single believer. We are all going to face our mountains of opposition. Every one of us. We're all going to face our mountains of opposition. Four. You level these mountains by getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. You level these mountains by getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Five. You level these mountains by putting spiritual priorities over the details of life. There are many, many believers today that are no different than the Jews when they first returned to the land. They put the details of life over spiritual priorities. And that is going on in Christians all over America. But you level these mountains by putting spiritual priorities over the details of life. Six, Bible doctrine motivated them to rebuild the temple. Bible doctrine taught by Zechariah and Haggai. Bible doctrine motivated them to rebuild the temple. Doctrine taught by Zechariah and Haggai. And Haggai had to chew them out, brace them and chew them out. But they spent an entire chapter chewing their butt out because they put the details of life as higher priority than the rebuilding of the temple. They put details of life ahead of spiritual priority. God and the rebuilding of the temple where the living and true God, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, would indwell. But instead of rebuilding the temple, they're rebuilding, real fancy homes, real nice, beautiful homes. That was more important than rebuilding the temple for the purpose of worshiping the living and true God. When the temple was finished, they had a great celebration to commemorate the grace and power of God. 7. When the temple was completed, Israel had peace and prosperity for nearly 200 years. When the temple was completed, Israel had peace and prosperity for nearly 200 years. Eight. When the mountain of satanic opposition stopped the rebuilding of the temple, from 535 to 520 BC, they had 14 years of economic depression and drought. When the mountain of satanic opposition stopped the rebuilding of the temple, from 535 to 520 BC, they had 14 years of economic depression and drought. This was brought on by God. Here they had been released from Persia, giving the freedom to go back to Judah and go back to Jerusalem, but under the condition, rebuild the temple. That was coming from Cyrus and Darius. These were winner believers. They loved Jesus Christ, and they wanted to see the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem where the living and true God would reside. They had it. Cyrus understood it. Darius understood it. Many of the Persians understood it. There was quite a pivot of mature believers in Persia. But when they came back, no. They stopped. All they put in was the foundation and stopped. So God says, all right, you're going to stop that? You're going to put details of life ahead of the rebuilding of the temple and spiritual priorities? Then I'm going to bring discipline on you. Economic depression and drought. 9. However, when the temple was completed, they had 200 years of peace and economic prosperity. However, when the temple was completed, they had 200 years of peace and economic prosperity. So again, verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And then he will bring out the capstone, the top stone, to shouts of grace, grace to it. Now in Zechariah 4, verses 8 through 10, we have the restoration of the temple. Couple of things by way of introduction. One, in these verses, Zechariah's confidence in the temple's completion received a boost by an encouraging word of assurance from the teaching angel. He had a message from the Lord himself. In these verses, Zechariah's confidence in the temple in the temple's completion received a boost by an encouraging word of assurance from the teaching angel from the Lord himself. Two, these verses are not a repeat of verse 7, but an emphatic announcement that what Zerubbabel had begun, he would finish. These verses are not a repeat of verse 7, but an emphatic announcement that what Zerubbabel had begun, he would finish. Three, this encouragement came from Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. This encouragement came from Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. For the all-powerful God will accomplish what he decreed. The all-powerful God will accomplish what he decreed. So Zechariah 4, verse 8, we start out, very short verse, verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, we have the cal imperfect of the verb hayah with the vav conversive plus the noun davar joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, plus the cal infinitive construct of amer. Now the conjunction vav. I'll put it up here, translate. The vav is a transitional vav, and it may be translated moreover, or now, or then. We're going to translate it then. And the vav is also a conversive vav, converting the imperfect of the verb hayah into a perfect. And so it would be then came. And then we have davar plus the joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton. So that's D-E-B-A-R, and then the tetragrammaton. Devar Jehovah, and that is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, Davar, literally means speech or word. The phrase, the word of the Lord, is used 394 times in the Old Testament scriptures. Devar Jehovah. That phrase is used 394 times in the Old Testament scriptures. This phrase is used as divine communication And it may be in commandments or in prophecy or words of help to his people. And then the preposition L plus the first person singular suffix. And L means to, first person singular suffix, to me. Who is me? Zechariah. Cal infinitive construct of Amer, saying. So, then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, and then verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. That's the first part. This verse looks at the beginning and the completion. First of all, the beginning. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. This is the construct of the noun yod, plus the proper noun Zerubbabel, plus the PL perfect of the verb yasad, plus the noun bayith with the definite article, plus the demonstrative pronoun zeh with the definite article. Now, the word yod, and there was a fella at Dallas Seminary. He was a part of our Themes Weenies group at Dallas. And he always would go around, how's your yod? I don't know what that guy's doing now. He's probably still going around in front of his congregation. How's your yod there, folks? Yod is the Hebrew word for hand. And then the proper noun, Zerubbabel. So it's the hands of Zerubbabel. The hands of Zerubbabel. And then we have the verb yasad. That's Y-A-S-A-D, yasad. And yasad means to establish. It means to found. It means to fix. But we have the PL stem. And the PL stem is the intensive stem of the Hebrew. And is correctly translated, have laid the foundation. Have laid the foundation. And then we have Habayith Hazah. Habayith, well, Bayith is the word literally house. You mostly probably know that by now, the definite article. Habayith. And then we have the demonstrative pronoun Zeh, this. So Habayith Hazah literally is translated of this house. But this house is this temple. So the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. That's the first part. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. And then the next, his hands shall also finish it. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the noun yod once again with the third person singular masculine suffix plus the PL imperfect of batsah. The conjunction vav is this time an adjunctive vav and it's correctly translated also. Yod is repeated, the Hebrew word for hand, third person singular masculine suffix, his hands. His hands are Zerubbabel's hands, and then the verb batsah. B-A-T-S-A-I-N. Batsah. All right, literally, batsah means to cut off, to break off. It can even mean in a military sense, it can mean to gain in war. But when batsah is related to construction or building something, as in our verse, then batsah means to finish or to complete. All right. His hands, Zerubbabel's hands, will also complete it. And then we have, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Once that temple is completed. So this is the conjunction vav prefix to the cow perfect of yada with the second person singular masculine subject, plus the conjunction ki joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton once again, with the plural noun tsevaoth, Jehovah tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. The cow perfect of, plus the cow perfect of shalak with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the preposition el with the second person plural masculine subject. We have the conjunction vav, which once again is the transitional vav, and may be translated and moreover now or then, and once again we're going to translate it then. The vav is also a conversive vav, converting this time the perfect of yada into an imperfect. The verb yada, well, we've had this many times. That's Y-A-D-A-I, and yada. And yada is the verb to know. After verbs of decendi, like yada, to know, then the conjunction ki is correctly translated that, introducing an object clause, introducing what you will know. And then we have Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, and this is God the Father, use the title for God the Father. And then we have the verb shalach. S-H-A-L-A-C-H, shalach. And shalach means to send, with a third person singular masculine suffix, has sent me, and me is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the preposition el with the second person plural masculine suffix, to you. So, this is very powerful. Then, when the temple's completed, then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, to you. All right? All right, now verses 8 and 9. Let's get it together here. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, to you. That's powerful. All right, one. Did you get that? Do you want me to give you that again? Yes? Okay, everybody got it except you, Al. You're too, you're just too effing slow, you know. What are you laughing for back here? Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, to you. All right, one. Verse 8 puts the spotlight on the word of the Lord, Bible doctrine. Verse 8 puts the spotlight on the word of the Lord. That's where we put the spotlight in Upland Bible Church, is put on the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is also the mind of Christ. It's also the voice of the Spirit. Two, when you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, when you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you will know that the Lord of the armies, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to you. When you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you will know that the word that the Lord of the armies, God the Father, has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, to you. Three, you have to learn the absolute truth of the Word of God before you know the grace of God. You have to learn the absolute truth of the Word of God before you know the grace of God. Four, the only way you can get back to the grace and power of God is through maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The only way you can get back to the grace and power of God is through maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Five, God's plan calls for God's grace and God's power. God's plan calls for God's grace and God's power. Six, Satan did everything possible to keep the temple from being rebuilt. The mountain of opposition, verse 7. Satan did everything possible to keep the temple from being rebuilt. The mountain of opposition in verse 7. Seven, the entire construction of the temple depended upon who and what God is. God the Father, who is a part of His plan and the divine decree. God the Son, the wall of fire that protected them while they rebuilt the temple, and then resided in the Holy of Holies as the Shekinah glory, and God the Holy Spirit, the power for rebuilding the temple. The entire construction of the temple depended upon who and what God is: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 8, verse 9 is a divine promise from the Word of God. Verse 9 is a divine promise from the Word of God. Nine. Principle. A promise is no stronger than the person who makes the promise. A promise is no stronger than the person who makes the promise. I'm sure many of you, maybe all of you, have had people promise you something, and 30 years later, you're still waiting for them to fulfill that promise. When I was at Dallas Seminary and preparing for the ministry, and I had people make promises to me. In fact, they even said, now don't worry about getting your library. I'll take care of that library and provide for that. So I said, okay, I'm not gonna buy even one book. This guy's promised, he promised to provide the money for the library. Well, I waited for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I was gonna graduate in 4 years. And so I said, Debbie, you better get to work. You better get to work, and I got to get a library. I said, I'm not going to say one thing to this person. He has his reasons, or he just forgot, or whatever. I'm not going to say anything to him. But you need to go to work so I can buy my books from my library. So Debbie went to work. She was in an attorney's office. You have to be something to be in the attorney's office in there. And they loved Debbie. They loved Debbie because she didn't have a clue about any of these legal terms. And they would come out laughing, all of them laughing, and then going, oh, look at what she put. They loved her, though. That's fantastic. A promise is no stronger than the person who makes the promise. 10, when God makes the promise, it absolutely will be fulfilled. God is perfect. When God makes the promise, it absolutely will be fulfilled. 11, God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be the wall of fire around the Jewish people to protect and hold back what? To protect and hold back the fallen angels, the plans of Satan, protect them from any other people around that would attack them. So God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be the wall of fire to protect and hold back the fallen angels, the plans of Satan, and any peoples that would attack them before they had any fortifications or wall. 12, the one who protected Zerubbabel and the Jewish people during this time was the Lord Jesus Christ, the wall of fire. The one who protected Zerubbabel and the Jewish people during this time was the Lord Jesus Christ, the wall of fire. Any work the Lord begins by His grace and His power, the Lord finishes by His grace and His power. Any work the Lord begins by His grace and His power, the Lord finishes by His grace and His power. And Zerubbabel was the Lord's instrument. So, Zechariah 4:8-9, then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, God the Father, hath sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, to you. And then verse 10. Now there was a fantastic celebration when that temple was completed. A fantastic celebration. But it was half of the people were celebrating, the other half were crying, wailing, because, and we have it here, they despised the temple. Why? Because it wasn't beautiful like Solomon's temple. It wasn't huge. It was small and plain, and they wept and wept and cried, and they despised the temple. So two groups. One group celebrating grace, grace. They're shouting grace, grace. And the other half wailing so loud, crying, crying, despising the temple. And they were doing this at the same time. And they were, it was so loud, nobody could tell who was crying and who was celebrating. Well, here we have the group. These are the reversionists. For who has despised the day of small things? Now, interesting, the title here, small things. The temple that was rebuilt was much smaller. It was very small compared to Solomon's temple. And for those people, the older ones, the older Jewish people that were there and remembered Solomon's temple, oh, this was horrible. And they despised this temple. For who has despised the day of small things? This is the conjunction key plus the interrogative pronoun me plus the cal perfect of the Hebrew word booze. Now, when I said, I know some of you will, even when I tell you what this word means, you're not going to believe it. You're already locked in on booze, see? And it's not buzz, it's booze. The cal perfect of booze plus the preposition lamath prefix to yom plus the plural of the adjective katan. All right, Brown, Driver and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 472, says that key, which oftentimes is a causal conjunction, key sometimes has an intensive force. And that's exactly how it's used in this verse, an intensive force. And it should be correctly translated, in fact. So it's not because, it's in fact. And this is putting the spotlight on those reversionists who despised the new temple because it wasn't big enough, wasn't large enough, and wasn't as glorious as Solomon's temple. So, in fact, and then we have the interrogative pronoun me. And me is the interrogative pronoun, correctly translated, who. Okay, who are we talking about? Come back next week and find out who we're talking about. But these are, well, we got a lot of older generations in here too, but you don't want to walk in these footsteps. You better be off to walk in Zechariah, who's a youngster compared to these people. These are the older generation of Jews who lived before Solomon's temple was destroyed. And they remember how glorious and great and big that Solomon's temple was. And when they saw how small this temple that was rebuilt, They cried and cried and wailed and wailed and cried and wailed. And this was going on at the same time that the others were celebrating. Grace, grace. And it's all going on at the same time. Huh. Now, it'd been great if God just sent lightning from heaven and there went off. All the ones crying, they're not crying anymore. And those that are celebrating are just keep on celebrating. But he didn't do that. That's why I'm not God, see. In case some of you thought that I might be God, I'm not God. Well, we'll see who is who next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.